What will our lives look like if we don't change anything? If we just continue as we do things right now, as we just live this way. And we just go on and on and on. And after a couple of years, we look back and we say, what if I've changed something? What if I gave up something for the Lord? How would things be different? How would things worked out differently? Would it have been worth the fight? Would it have been worth giving up something? And just as the stuff that's going on in my heart and that I'm wrestling with, I talk to guys and I see what we do, what we consume, what we have in our minds, what are we busy with. We always have family, we have work, we've got friendships. There's so many things. But the cost of discipleship, becoming like Jesus, that is something that must run, it must run in front. It must be the thing that is in front, and everything else fits into that. But that is the challenge that I just put it out there. I just know that for myself, it's something that I look at. Something that's so real for me the last couple of days. Decisions that we make, things that we do. Are we really going to fight a good fight? Are we really becoming like Jesus? Or are we just going to go on and after another year we say, wow, maybe I should have done something differently. Then I go on, maybe I should have changed something. Or that was a good thing. But we just run on, we're just doing an individual thing. And I just felt that we are moving in a time where the decisions that we're going to make is going to become more black and white. It's just going to be, there's more pressure all the time to do the right things, but at the same time the reward is also there. It will become more clear. It will become more clear where you're heading, where you're going. So it's easy to tell, it's easy to say for me, I follow the Lord and I try to do things, but then what's the fruit of my life? Does it show? Is there anything that shows? Is there anything that reflect of what I believe, of where my heart is? And this is not to condemn. This is just straight talk. Like when I talk to Chris Blackshaw from Century City Management, we come into the meeting. And he said, right, put everything on the table. We talk straight. What you did there, I didn't like. I say, you did this, I didn't like that. He said, okay, cool, we talk straight. And that is what this is, what's on my heart today. Just to talk straight. Because we can go on, we can have church, we can do a lot of nice things. But at some point, we must look at our lives and just what's in our hearts. Because each one of us, we know what is going on in our hearts. Each one of us, we will have to make the decision to follow the Lord. We need to make those decisions. We can come together, we can sing together, we can pray together. But at the end of the day, each one, we sit in our rooms, on our beds, and then it's between you and the Lord. It's like coming from back from an exam at Stellenbosch. I sit there on my bed and I think, hey, I'm my chops. This was a difficult one. Then it doesn't matter what everybody, all the classes, all the stuff. It's me in this reality that strike me like a hammer. And I know if I get there, I must do things different. It is just a defining moment. And I pray that today is just a moment where you just take stock. We just think how we do things. How are we going forward? Are we really counting the cost? It's okay to say we're going to follow. It's okay to say with my business, I'm going to go for a godly business. I'm going to do all the things right. And I'll give my tenth to the Lord. But following God is much more than that. It's much more than all these rules and how we work things out, how we are going to do it. It is giving over control. Giving over control to the Lord. And obviously, giving over, counting the cost, everything will become more and more real. The decisions we make in the beginning, it's easy. We can come here, we can respond to a message, we can make a decision. But when you walk out, well, just out this hall, things are a little bit different. Things are just real, things are just, it's a battlefield. That's the best to put it. Then everything is very real. And then you think back, was it really a hard decision? Or was it really something that I just did? I felt a lot of emotion at the time, and it felt very good. And I go on. Somebody posted something on Facebook. He said about commitment or endurance. Is that what you do after all the emotion and everything has left? After time when you make that decision. After all of that is gone, are you still going through with the decision? So that is when I can enter Two Oceans Marathon, the ultra marathon. I can feel good. Tien is there in the office. Yaku, we're going to do it, man. And everything is lekker and there's group pressure. And the guys will know, you stand around the braai. Yes, we're going to do it. We all sign up. But when it happens, then it's a different story. Then we all suffer together and you suffer. Depends on how much you put in. I remember sitting in Stellenbosch one day, a couple of friends, because I was on my mountain bike every day, going to class and back. The guy said, they want to go to Franschhoek on the mountain bike. I said, guys, I can do it this afternoon. Let's just get another challenge. And then the guy said, okay, Aku, let's do it. I said, okay, I will finish my lunch, I'll get on my bike, I'm going to cycle to Franschhoek and back. And tomorrow we're going to sit here again. And I'm going to tell you I've done it. So we finished our lunch. I got on my bike. I was out there, Franschhoek. I got over Elswichte into Franschhoek. It's a 60 kilometers round trip, I think it was. So I reached Franschhoek. I feel great. I turn around. Jeez, about 10Ks back, I was finished. I couldn't cycle anymore. I don't know what happened. I was just, my whole body just finished. It was hitting the wall. I got off and I walked back. So I walked my bike back another 10 or 15 Ks on top of Helswichte, and then you got on and then just free down. It was massive. I struggled. It was not fun. I didn't count the cost. I just said, yeah, I'll do it. That's fine. It was painful. But sometimes that is the realities of what we're doing. That is how things... And it feels to me what we're doing now, following the Lord, we try to find a golden middle way. We know that we get to a point, things is not great, we trust God for certain things, we pray about things, we get the breakthroughs on the side. Then everything is stabilizing again. Things are a bit better. Then you think, okay, I still like all of this. I still like this and this and this and all these things. Now everything is working together. It's a nice middle way. Now things are going really bad again. Then I go this way. Oh, I must put in. I must work on my relationship with God. I must sort out this issue. It's really bad. So I sort it out. And then I just float here in the middle again. We're following God is just much more than this. And that's a challenge for myself. Because I'm also doing that. I'm not fully just saying, Lord, I'm just fully sold out for you. It's not just about sorting out issues. It's not just about, it's about worshiping you. It's about going for you, living for you. Where there's no this middle way of, I still want to do this and this and this and this, but I also want almost the best of both worlds. And that's really just lukewarm. When we came back from holiday, that was the first time Gustav and Samuel, I think, experienced lukewarm. The geyser was off for 2 weeks. So they wanted to have a nice bath. They didn't like it. It is cold. I said, man, that's lukewarm. It's not nice. They had a first-hand revelation. I said, that's what we often have in the church and in life. We have lukewarm. It's not nice. It doesn't work. And that's what we experience. And I think we settle so quickly for that middle way. We go for some things, we work hard to get something. You get it, and then you just get in the motion again, and we just carry on. Let's look at the Bible in Luke 14, verse 25 to 33. I'm just quickly going to read some of it. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, this is Jesus, he's walking, and lots of people following him. He turned around and said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Sorry. So often we read that and we see the hate part and we think, well, this is a bit harsh. And you think, how can I... Okay, sometimes it comes very natural to hate your brother and your mother and everybody. And then, but the thing is, if we compare Matthew 10:37 with Luke 14, it is similar passages. The one is saying hate, and the other one is implying love less. It means he who loves, Matthew 10 says, he who loves father or mother more than me, is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Where Luke says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother. So really what the word is implying is we must love God first. We must love him the most. If we put other people in front, if we love other people more, that is wrong. Our hearts must be connected to God. Our hearts must be linked to the Lord, given over to God. It's another place where we say Jacob went to his uncle and he worked for Leah, and then he worked for Rachel, and then he got Leah, and later he got Rachel. There's also a scripture saying he hated Leah, but it is actually just meaning he loved her a little bit less than he loved Rachel. So that is just to clarify that part of the scripture. But let us continue. For which of you desiring to build a tower, Luke 14 verse 28, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation to ask for terms of peace. He tried to make right. So in the first place, he's talking about the tower. The man wants to build a tower. He says, he looks at all his stuff and he makes the sums. He says, can I do this? What is it going to cost me? Okay, that is the first one. Then it goes on and it talks about this king with the 10,000 people and another king approaching. So the guy with building the tower, he's counting the cost. He can decide, I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. He can decide just to leave it. The king, on the other hand, he must do something. He's in war. He's in his place. The other king is coming. He must now decide, am I going to attack? Am I going to try to make peace? It requires action. And I think that is more currently, the case with us. It's not like we can count the cost and then just decide, okay, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not willing to do something, because we are in war. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. They're advancing against each other, and where they meet, there's action. There's war, there's things happening. So for us, we must decide where we're going to be, because we are in this war. We are part of what is happening. It's not like we can just stand back and say, okay, we're just going to let things go. We don't want to count the cost. We don't want to do anything. Because in effect, we are really making a decision. It's not like we've got the privilege of just saying nothing. On the other side, often we will go and we will just say, okay, give your heart to the Lord. Everything is going to be wonderful and great and amazing. And then you do it and then you realize, hey, bad things still happen to me. It is still a difficult road. It is still a road that we must work out. It's still a road that we must help one another with. Matthew 7 verse 14 says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Those who find it are few. Luke 13 verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow door. So it is a difficult road to follow. But that's why I'm so blessed, just when anyone can just be real and in community, we can help one another, we can share, we can talk. Because everybody is going through difficult things. There's this thing, the saying that was, everybody's got a sad story. So I don't say it so much anymore. We used to joke about it. The guy will come and say, the girl said this, this. Everybody's got a sad story, man. Just live on. But in reality, there's things going on in each of our lives. It might look as if everything is very nice. Even I fight with my wife. I tell it in Rana Bosch. It was the one guy who looked at me. I thought, man, he thought I'd never fight with my wife. I don't know where he's coming from. We all fight. We're all people. We're human. We make our mistakes. We can only be real and we can help one another to walk this way. To live out. Because it's not easy. We need to help one another. And that's what the Bible is saying. It's a narrow road. So obviously everybody is not going down this narrow road. And that is why it was so... Well, this it's good. It was just to see this king. He had to make a decision. He couldn't just continue with what he was doing. He couldn't just say, okay, other king, you're coming to me. You're going to come for war, but that's fine. I'm going to do my thing. You do your thing, and we live happily ever after. That guy is coming for war. There is something going to happen. There's a clash coming. He must decide. And that is the same for us. We must also decide, what are we going to do? We must decide for whom we are going to fight for. Are we going to go on just being lukewarm? Or are we following God with everything inside of us? And the enemy is coming. We all know the scripture. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy in various ways. Not really. It can be... it's not physical death. It might be you lose things, things go wrong. It can manifest in different ways, but it's steal, kill, and destroy. He's not going to bless you. He's not going to bless your work, your family, your household, anything like that. He's not going to do it. Even though there's so many things that are so nice, it looks so great, at the end of the day, those things are going to backfire. That is my just the gist of it. And I know this stuff is just so nice. I'm trying to explain to my children that sin is nice, but it's not good. Because they enjoy it. Else we won't do it. If it's not nice, we won't do it. It's like eating chocolates the whole day, every day. It's nice to do it. The effect is not so good. Nobody will say, it is great. You can eat your chocolates and it is great. You can go on. At a certain stage, there's going to be a result of what you're doing. And that is what we must keep in mind. It's not easy to keep those things in mind. I can say, I follow the Lord. I make decisions here. But every morning when I wake up, the world and all the worries of the world and all the things, what I used to do, all the things that I like, everything is right there in my face. So we must make those decisions to follow God all the time. That is part of this cost that we're going to pay. We must make those decisions all the time. And as you go on, it becomes easier to make those decisions. We're building, just from a point where you're building new habits. New things are becoming part of your life. But also, there are friends to help us. And I've got such respect for people that speak into my life and tell me also things that's not right, but they can see. Friends that will come to me and say, Yaku, you're doing this and this and this, stop doing that. It's not good. Because I've got blind spots. Luckily, I've got a wife that helps a lot to show the blind spots and the Holy Spirit and then you guys. So you can't get away with a lot. But we need those people around us. But the thing is, every day we need to make those decisions. We need to count the cost on a daily basis. It is so, Jesus is really asking us for a wholehearted devotion. Where we come to the Lord with our whole life. We will say, I will give this to you, Lord. I want to give this to you. I want to do this thing for you. I want to give you this from my business. I will come and do this in church. And the Lord is saying, I want you. I want you. I want all of you. Not this little bit and this little bit and that little bit and this thing that you've worked out that you can give me on the side and this something. He just wants us to be reconciled to Him. And the thing is that in that we will experience life and life in abundance. But it's often hard to see that. And it's hard to go for it. In Matthew 10 verse 7, just quickly Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand. He sent out His disciples, but He sent them out with authority. And that's the same with us. We go into the world, we go into your business, at home, everywhere. Jesus is sending out His disciples. He's sending us into the world. He's the one that commissions. He's the one that gives the authority. So it's not like we must now fight this battle and everything all on our own strength. Matthew 10 verse 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. Behold, in verse 16, I am sending you. Jesus is sending us. He's the one doing the commissioning. Verse 19, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious on how you are to speak. Yesterday in our house, the children, everybody was like a dancing. They put the music on and we're all doing funky moves. And we make movies. And I say, Gustav, why do you don't dance like this in front of the people at cell? He said, no, Daddy, I'm too shy. I said, you're not shy. What? That's not shy. It's fear of man. And then Samuel, he's more quiet, and he starts dancing and doing funky moves. I said, Samuel, why don't you do that at your party? He said, no, Daddy, I can't do that. I'm too shy. I said, guys, that's the fear of man creeping in. That is just fear. We've all got that. Well, we all got something of it. I know some of us are really bold, but there's something of that. And when that scripture say, "Do not be anxious how you are to speak, what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour," I was just thinking about often we go out and just that fear of man is holding us back. Just that fear of man, of what are they going to think. But actually it's God commissioning us. He's sending us. He's telling us, don't be anxious. I'm with you. I will help you. I'll put the words in your mouth. So there's a dependence on God that I can't say that I fully walk in that. But there's a release to be an agent for the Lord. Matthew 10 verse 28, or no, verse 22 says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." God is saying, you will be hated for my name's sake. He also said, if you remember Saul on the road to Damascus, the light came down and the voice of heaven came and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Not why are you persecuting the Christians. God really identified with his people. And even that persecution, he took it upon himself. He said, "You are persecuting me." And that for me was just an eye-opener again to think that I go out into the world. The persecution that I get is actually also Jesus being persecuted. Because I will just take it upon myself and reflect everything upon myself. Say, this is bad. Oh, I can't do this. And what they're going to... And oh, now they're saying this and this. But it's actually Jesus is also being persecuted. It's the name of God that's at stake. It's not only our name. It's the name of the Father. Verse 28, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy body and soul, or both soul and body in hell." We must direct our fear to the fear of God. I'm not going to say a lot about that, but often we are just fearing people, fearing things. And all these things, I'm saying this because it's holding us back and just giving over to the Lord. Just getting into this place where we're just really effective for God. So obviously the challenge is to look at our hearts to see what is really going on in our hearts. Sometimes, while I was busy with it, I was reminded of things where God spoke to me to do certain things. Okay, I'll give you a story. Once upon a time, Lee and I was there in Stellenbosch before we got married. I think we had a big fight that day. I was walking in the street. I said, "I need time out." So I'm walking through the streets. Okay, so I'm just walking, talk to the Lord. And suddenly the word Java, I was a computer programmer. So Java makes a lot of sense. It's not coffee. I think computer, code, everything. So the word Java dropped in my mind. I think, what must I do with this? And I really felt God telling me, you must respond to this word. So I thought, okay, what must I study, Java? Because I worked with Java as a programmer every day. I did computer science at university. We didn't study Java. But you, as a programmer, you just learn to use any whatever language is necessary to do the job. So I was using it. And then I felt, okay, maybe I must study it. I was praying about it. So with that in the back of my mind, I got married, moved to Clancier 3, 4, 5, 6 years later. I'm still sitting as a thing, Java. I must respond to this thing. Then I prayed over it and I thought, okay, I think I must go for the international Java exams. And that's a lot of work. So now I'm thinking, oh man, I'm married in Gustav is there, with only first, just him at that time. And it's time. I had to count the cost. And it's money it's going to cost me to write this exam. I talked to the guys at my work. They say, Jaco, you don't have to write this exam. We're not going to give you a raise or anything. So if you want to do it, go for it. So I went home and I pray and I think, okay, I need to respond to this thing. And what I think is I must go for this exam. So I entered for the exam, started studying, many pain and hours and tears and everything later, and a year and a half later, I think. Anyway, I go write the exam, I didn't pass it. Okay? But in the meantime, studying Java and this whole process, it taught me a lot of other things. Just time management, or just exposed my lack of time management, and this exposed a lot of things in my life. It just showed me a lot of things that I'm not good at, and it actually helped me a lot at work as well, just from studying it. So I will study something in the evening. Next day, my boss will ask us developers, what about this thing? I said, yeah, I know about this, man. I can show you in the book, and I can show you on Google where this, and then they think, hey, where do you get all of this? And I think, I'm not going to tell them. It was just lucky I actually studied it last night. So, and it just continued. I just realized that this is really helping me in my job. So then I decide, okay, I'm going to pay the money again, write the exam again, go through the whole process. It was such a pain. And it was really a long time. But then, long story short, one day I drove home on my motorbike, and suddenly I just feel God speaking to me, and He said, that's okay, you can stop. Obviously, I think, man, this must be from the Lord. I thought, I got this impression like Abraham, where he took Isaac to sacrifice his son, and just that God is just saying, it's okay, you've done all the hard work, you can stop now. So I didn't want to know. To talk to Lee, talk to friends, and I prayed about it. In the end, I had peace that I can stop. And then I didn't go on with this whole thing. But that for me was such a journey with God. Because just because I had this word, because sometimes God will give us something. In our heart, there will be a word, there will be something that we need to respond to. It might even be that the Lord will be quiet until we are obedient to what He told us to do. That also happened. For me, it was, if I must get that word again, it's such a pain. I just think pain. But now thinking back, I just realized that is maybe something that we must be ready for when we sold out to the Lord. Where God can come, and we won't even understand everything. People told me, because I want to go, I've really felt that I must go into full-time ministry, so they will come to me and say, Jaco, what are you doing? You're studying Java. In 2 years or 3 years from now, you won't be working as a programmer anymore. I think, I said, man, I felt God is telling me to study Java, so I'm just doing it. That's it. And I really got it helped me a lot in various ways. But I couldn't explain everything at the time. And now I'm just thinking back, because that's already a few years later, from that incident. And the other thing that was really, where God was just about the full-time ministry, it was also something that I felt many years ago, I think 1998, at a conference. I felt God, Lord speaking to me about ministry and everything. And I just kept that thing. I didn't know, it was a bit scary. And I just left it there. many years go past, and Pastor Sia said that church planting, Lee reminded me last night again what he really said. I thought he said something else, but he said that we must go and just pray about things that God told you, or words that's there, and this, what you're going to do, things that you haven't responded to. And that day when I prayed and I just spent some time with the Lord, it just came up again, and I just knew this is my place. This is what I must do to be in ministry. So Lee and I, we started praying about it, and I started counting the cost. I still remember, I just told the guys that asked me, what are you going to do now? Because we had a small group there. We discuss if there's something that God highlighted. I said, yes, it's just this thing that comes up again. And I was counting the cost. I prayed for a few months after that until I was ready to respond if someone comes to me and asks me to go into full-time ministry. But why I'm saying that is, it's almost like now we go into full-time ministry and think, okay, great. Now I'm here. And I realized that this might not be the end. This is just part of the journey. So often I would have thought, okay, now I'm in full-time ministry, I'm here, okay, great. It happened. Now I can just relax a bit. But I might only be 15% down the journey. I don't know. Because often we take something and this is on our mind, and now we've reached there, and we think, okay, great. This is amazing. And then we sit back and we relax a bit. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm just talking straight. So that's what I just want to encourage us to do. It's not only to think about words or things that God told us. And obviously we count the cost for how we live, what we do. But in essence, it's really about giving over to the Lord. Giving our life over to God. Not just giving this little bit, that little bit. Now I've reached this stage. This is great. Now I've reached that thing. Now I can relax. It is more a full obedience to the Lord. And I know from the times, they were very scary times. They're still scary times. Where, you know, Lord, if you don't come through for me, then I'm in my chops. I'm finished. Where you close, you say, you're going with no backup plans. But it's also in relationship. There's counsel in the wisdom of many. Meaning that I will tell certain people, pray with them. We work things out. But I want everything that God has in store for me. Because there's a plan and a purpose for each one of us. There's a place for you. I've used to say that I know this is my place. This is my place. But actually, I just realized during this week that I've also become a bit slack, thinking this is my place. Okay, so I can just sit back a little bit and not search with the same excitement, search for the same the same enthusiasm and everything. Spend that time with the Lord, search for His Word and everything. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, he wrote there, he said, what we are trying to do is to remain what we call ourselves, to keep personal happiness as our great aim in life. So one time we just want to be happy, everything must work, everything must be great. And at the same time, by keeping personal happiness, we also want to be good in God's eyes. We also want to have, everything must be okay with our relationship with God and everything. And he just said, God just wants so much more for us. He just wants so much more. I don't like things that don't work. I also just want to sort it out. Buy the new thing, get everything sorted, everyone is happy, you go on. And often we just want to be happy. We just want to go somewhere, everything must be fine, everything must be great. We go with certain expectations. Maybe even this morning you can come here with a certain expectation. You want the worship team to be bigger. You want certain things. But I just realized if we're really serving God, if we really, where we give over to God our lives, then these things won't really happen anymore. Matter so much anymore. As the whole perspective, everything just changed. And that is the challenge. Jesus is saying through discipleship, it's becoming like Jesus, becoming like Christ. He's saying you can be perfect. That's what he put in the word. I know I'm far from perfect, so there's still a long road to travel. But that's okay. We go forward with the Lord. And that's what I just want to encourage each one of you this morning, is to commit to the Lord. Commit to God. And only you know in which area you must commit. You know where you are in your journey with God. I can tell many testimonies, many stories, how God came through for me in various ways. But I've also realized that I'm also just in the journey. Still got a long way to go. I'm just in the journey. We are all in the journey. But we're all here to help one another. Amen. Amen. Let us just please stand. In John 4, verse 34, Jesus said, we've got this in our kitchen, because there's a lot of food in the kitchen. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That is the food. That's what I run on. And that's what I want to put out first. That's to do the will of the Father. To do the will of God. John 10 verse 27 said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You will hear God's voice. You will hear God telling you certain things to do, or just guide you, or just warning signs. And we're going to talk about more about the prophetic, hearing God's voice, in the weeks to come, specifically 27th of August, July to the 3rd of August, in 2 weeks' time, for two Sundays, and we will have things during that week as well, just to help us to hear God's voice, to equip us to know God's voice, to know the steps, and then to move on it. And lastly, I saw on Facebook, even Facebook can have good things there. Pastor Philip from Pretoria, he posted there, if Christ isn't at the center, what is the point? If God is not the center, what's the point of what we're doing? Let's just close our eyes and this. Just share your heart with the Lord. Just maybe there's words that you must still be obedient to. Words that you've heard, you felt God telling you to do something, or there's a conviction in your heart. Maybe you're not even sure. Then the invitation is there that we can pray together and we can try to really find out what is God's will for you. Because we're in a journey together. Or something that you know that you need to do, you need to make right. For me, it's always simple. I'm always aware of things that's not right. It comes natural. And I know right now you guys are also, it's so easy to think about, to look at things that's not right, to get mismoedig, The idea is not to have condemnation and guilt. I'm talking about where there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit highlights something and we respond to the conviction. And if there's stuff that you want to work through with the Lord, that's fine. We work through those things. And we move forward together. Because God is interested in your whole life. God is interested in everything. In your whole being. He created you in the image of God. For a purpose. Father God, we thank you for this morning, God. Lord, thank you for each one in front of me, Lord. And that we can all come together this morning, Lord, and be here and hear your word, God. And Lord, I'm so aware, God, that you want the best for us. And we also want the best for ourselves, but in a different way. And then these things clash. And Father, I pray that you will help us to give over to you, Lord. That every day, Lord, that we can make the right decisions. That every day when we wake up, we can pray the right prayers. We can ask for help. And Father, thank you that this morning, that everyone that's here, Lord, that you are sending them. That you are sending us, Lord, into this world. You are doing the commissioning. You give the authority. You give whatever we need. You give the protection. You say we don't have to be afraid. And you are the one, Lord, that is also taking some of the persecution. It's not only us that say, hey, I didn't like it. They talk bad to me and all these things that's happening, but you are also feeling it. Father, help us, Lord, to fully commit to you, Lord. To count the cost. To settle it in our hearts and to follow you. In Jesus' name.